But here's the thing God says, and he expects his pastors to know this. And when you ask for something, you must ask in faith, nothing wavering. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Because I'm not a wishy-washy God. I don't heal this one or this one. My answers to my prayer or to your prayers to me in 2 Corinthians 1:20 is 1 Corinthians 1:20 is always yes. I never say no to my obedient children. Now then, he does say he won't answer your prayer if you hide sin in your heart. And if you got a sin hidden in your heart, and of course, Keith that day, whenever Pat prayed for him and God did heal him, took away his pain, he had done what God had prompted him to do. He had called the ministry center. It wouldn't have made any difference who it was that answered the phone that day. He was obedient to do what God said. But he directs the phone calls. I mean, God directs everything. And so when Pat prayed for him, the Lord, our God, our awesome God, healed his back and everything. And he was thanking God and worshiping. And then he just thought, well, since I'm already here at the doctor's office, I'll just go on in and let them check me. Now, he has nothing wrong with his back now. The pain's completely gone. Now, does Jesus do halfway work? No, he does not. But he expects us to believe him. So when he walked up there and he told me, he said, I opened that door and walked in and I closed the door. And the minute the door closed behind me, my pain came back just like that. But it's amazing the people that think they call and say, I want to talk to the big gun. They're talking about me. I know if Thurman prays for me, I'll be healed. Let me tell you, it's not the big gun. We're all big guns around here. It's Jesus. He's the only real big gun. Y'all know that? He is the only real big gun. And so when we pray, and I've prayed for a lot of people that have not been healed in my life, why do people not get healed? Well, there's lots of reasons. You know, there's sin in their life. They didn't believe, you know. And, of course, I've prayed for a lot of people that God has healed, and then they go out and, like Keith, get into unbelief, and then, of course, the pain comes back. In fact, while we're here talking about these wonderful things, I know many of you have heard this testimony many times, but some of you have not. I was just talking to Jack Butler there. Jack, hold up your hand. I want them to know who you are, that you're here. And that when Jack came to me a few years ago, you know, he had had back pain for a long time. I don't know how long, several years, hadn't you, Jack? Yeah, he'd had back problems for a long time. And, of course, he's a good Baptist. You know, Jack's a good Baptist. He's like I was. We were good Baptists, wasn't we, Jack? We believed God and we loved him, but we'd never heard much about healing in the Baptist church. And so Rosemary, I think, is the one that told Jack about coming out here. She met him and asked him if he wanted to come out here. He could get healed at TLSM. Well, when Jack came out and came for prayer, that day when I told him, I said, Jack, before I pray for you, you've got to repent of your sin. He said, what do you mean? I said, your sin's what's causing your problem. Well, he ain't never heard this before in his life. And so he said, well, like what kind of sin? I said, well, I don't know. Only you and God know what your sin. I said, but all sin. I said, what do you do? He said, well, I'm a businessman. I said, are all of your deals totally, completely, 100% above board, or... Well, and he said, you know, I try to, but, you know, maybe once in a while you have to do something. And I said, well, Jack, that's sin. I said, everything's got to be 100% God. Is that right, Jack? And so, you know, a man don't realize that if you're a businessman, maybe you do something here, or maybe you cheat on somebody a little over here, or you do a little, you know, tell a little bitty white lie over here. I mean, that's just business, right? No. That's the world's way of doing business, and that's not God's way of doing business. And all those little, tiny, insignificant things we think is not sin was keeping him down in a state of back pain. So Jack repented of all those things. Well, Lord, okay, I repent of all those things. Lord, I know that I'm supposed to be holy and pure. And okay, Lord, I promise you I repent and I'll do those things. So I reached over and laid my hand on his back and I said, now in the name of Jesus, be healed. I said, it's done. He took a step back and he says, well, it hurts just as bad as it did. I said, well, Jack, it's still done. I said, now, he said, well, when's it going to quit hurting? I said, that's the only thing God don't tell me is when. I said, it may take him 5 minutes. You may get healed before you get to the car. You may get healed before you get home. It may be a week or a month. But I said, if you'll continue to praise him, I guarantee you, you're healed. Well, he had never heard that either. So he starts leaving thinking, well, you know, I don't know if this guy's crazy or maybe he's not. Okay. You know, but he walks out, and before Jack gets to his car, he realizes when he starts to get in his car, his pain is not there. And so 2 weeks later, Jack gave it 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, he came back to church here and he walked up to me and he said, Pastor, I only got one thing to say to you. What you teach around here works. He said, I ain't had a back pain in 2 weeks. But he said, I hadn't sinned in 2 weeks either. And you've tried your best to walk in complete obedience to God's word ever since, and the back pain has never come back. Now, that's been a few years ago, hadn't it, Jack? And, of course, the beautiful part about it, from all of that, God has taught Jack how to get his prayers answered. And that's the wonderful part about it, isn't it, Jack? I mean, Jack has prayed for people. And then, of course, I think about Joseph and his daughter and the son. I think about Joseph and Lori, how they've ministered to those children over all these years, and they've never believed. But there was a time, just like a time for Jack, a time for Sharon, a time for me, a time for you. There's a time. Now then, we're going to talk about these things a little bit today. I'm going to go into the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to start with Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to do everything in the NLT, the New Living Translation. And here, quite a while ago, I taught on Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse and chapter 2, and it was so depressing that I hadn't talked about it anymore. It's taken me about a year now to get over Ecclesiastes 1 and 2, but now we're going to talk a little bit about chapter 2 and chapter 3. Ecclesiastes is only 12 chapters, but if you don't read all 12 chapters every time you do it, or read all the way to the end, it's a very depressing book. But if you read all of it, all 12 chapters, every time, and you read all the way to the end, and of course, before we quit today, we'll have to read chapter 12 to finish. We're only going to talk about probably chapter 3 and 4 to start off with, but we'll have to finish on chapter 12. Now, it says there, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. You know, you notice how we talk about time frames? You notice that Joseph's been praying for his daughter for 20 plus years? You know, you notice Sharon's testimony. Sharon came, and of course, I remember the thing that Sharon told me when I met her about 6 years ago. I've said this many a time on the tape, that Sharon was my basket case girl. Because somebody, like she said, somebody throwed her in the back of a car and drove her over to the church. And we'll take you over to the Living Savior Ministry so you can get healed. Oh, whatever, she said. Had you ever been prayed for before for healing, Sharon? Hundreds of times. And it didn't work. That's the thing Sharon told me when she came up for prayer. She said, well, one thing, I've never heard the word taught like you taught it today. But she said, I want you to know I've been prayed for at least 100 plus times with never no results. I said, well, Sharon, did anybody ever tell you that you had to repent of your sin before you were prayed for? She says, no. I said, well, that's the first thing you got to do is repent of your sin. I said, whatever you've been doing 30 years ago, when she told me she'd been sick 30 years, I said, whatever you would have done 30 years ago opened the door to the demonic spirits and allowed them beast in. So I said, now you've got to repent of that sin. And so she thought what she'd done 30 years ago, she repented. I said, then the next thing you've got to do after you repent of everything, God says in Jeremiah 1:12, he watches over his word and he's ready to perform his word. So I said, what scripture did you use to base your faith on? He said, well, we didn't ever use a scripture. We just prayed. I said, well, you see what you got? Nothing. I said, you know, God has a plan and he sets out everything in detail, and if you don't do it his way, it don't happen. I said, he's in control, not you and me, but when we do everything his way. So I said, let's find us a scripture that'll guarantee God will do what he said. And I don't remember exactly which scripture, but Matthew 18:19, I know Sharon and I used that one for her teeth when we needed to, when she didn't want to have the root canals. And she believed, and God healed her teeth. And she has never had to have a root canal. She had two, the doctors told her. And then when she went back 6 or 8 months later to be checked, the doctor wanted to do the root canal. She said, no, my pastor and me prayed, and there's nothing wrong. My teeth are healed. And they told her, said, Karen, root canals don't change. She said, my mouth they do. Does that sound like faith? Yeah, that girl's got faith, see? And it was her time. And so she stood, and of course the doctor said, well, let's x-ray them. She said, I ain't paying for no x-rays. Ain't nothing wrong with my teeth. The guy said, well, I'll tell you what, if there's nothing wrong, I'll pay for the x-rays. So she said, okay, if you want to x-ray them, you pay for them yourself. That's okay. And so he x-rayed the teeth, and he couldn't believe it. There was nothing wrong with those two teeth. That girl's faith is what did this. And so when we think about these things, what we have to do, we have to do it God's way. Now then, she repented of her sin. Now then, she's found a scripture, or we have found a scripture to pray on. And then I said, now then, Sharon, when sin's repented of, and you found a scripture, now the Lord says, when you ask, you must ask in faith, nothing wavering. So I said, you've repented. I'm going to stand on the scripture. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you, and you've met all the criteria God requires in His Word. So I'm going to guarantee you, girl, Jesus is going to completely heal you. And she got healed that day. And that's been 6 years ago. And now, God has a plan, and He has a way to do things, and He has a time. Now, then, you notice that Sharon had only been sick for 30 years. She'd only been having the back pain for 30 years. Now, think about that. 30 years, this girl has suffered in pain. But the Scripture says here, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. There's a time. Now, sometimes people come, and it's their time. And they get prayed for, and they get instantly healed. But now see, it was Sharon's time 6 years ago to get all those other things, but you heard her just say that she didn't receive the healing in her knee. Was your knees or your feet? Her knees. She didn't receive the healing in her knees until, what, 2 months ago? 2 months ago. Now, obviously, if it had been God's time to do everything to her. See, I didn't know she had that problem. It's kind of like Saturday morning, we went out to watch our little grandson, 6 years old, play his first football game. And, you know, 6 years old, first grade. I mean, when Tim, his daddy, was sitting there, my son, he was sitting there beside me, and I said, son, you didn't start playing football this early. How old were you? He said, Dad, I was in the third grade when we started. I said, third grade. I said, well, when I was a young man, I started in the seventh grade. So we go from the seventh to the third, and now they're in the first grade. Man. And every time I would talk to him, of course, I knew this situation. And sure, when we got home last night, Cheryl said, I didn't know that Tim was hard of hearing.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, There is a Time for Everything, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.